You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Biden leads in 2020 swing states, while Trump losing some of his base. Meanwhile, looking very much like there will be absolutely no new coronavirus economic relief as states, cities, and workers hit a wall. New report claims that the Sturgis bike rally could be linked to one quarter of a million COVID cases across the country. This as AstraZeneca pauses its vaccine trial. Meanwhile, in a shocking and unprecedented move, the Department of Justice is now representing Donald Trump in his defamation lawsuit stemming from a claim of rape. The Georgia Secretary of State claims 1,000 potential double votes in its primary in a bid to undermine mail-in balloting. Assange's extradition procedures in its second day. Biden is in Michigan today to announce an offshoring plan. Trump to announce troop reduction in Iraq. A Department of Homeland Security draft assessment says that white supremacists are the most lethal threat to the U.S. currently. Day two of the Michigan graduate student strike. And D.C. will pay for high-speed internet for 25,000 people. All this and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. I am in the Brooklyn studio today. That's the way it's going to go back and forth for a while. You know, there's a whole host of different reasons why we're doing it this way, and not the least of which has to do with custody issues of both me and my children and of the show. That's where we are. And it's going to take me a while to get used to switching back and forth and switching that steps at the beginning of the intro. And sometimes it's just going to be steps, and other days it's steps. So there you have that. This we neglected to inform you of yesterday. Over Labor Day weekend, of course, there was a there were boat parades for Donald Trump. And one was on Lake Travis, I believe it is, right? Is that the name of the lake?
Austin.
Austin, yep. Well, the Travis County Sheriff's Office released official information about the boat parade. This is from a couple of days ago, but I thought you might want to know. Five boats sank. Two were towed. Three, apparently as of 2 or 3 days ago, were still submerged. Most boats that took on water were towed before sinking. Weather was calm. The problem, of course, is that the large boats generated waves in their wake, and there was no evidence of foul play. That is, I think, about a best of an encapsulation of Republicans' perspective on the world that one could get. The big boats drive through, they create big wakes, they sink the smaller boats, and then they rely on our tax dollars to save those folks. There it is. Fortunately, no one was hurt. And But that's what it is right there. I mean, terrifying experience, I imagine, for those people. And I'm sorry they went through that. But that is a prime example, I think, of the sort of a perfect metaphor for Republicans, right?
I was wondering how the wakes got that big on Lake Travis. Mm-hmm. And the answer is just other big boats.
Yes.
And amazing.
Exactly. Well, I would just suggest that those smaller boat owners, you know, pull themselves up by their, I don't know, boat straps and get a bigger boat.
Just a correction that I just got on the IM. This is an IM I read yesterday. Yesterday, I sent in an IM. This is from Jersey Expat. Following an incident in Dobbs Ferry, New York, and promoted an upcoming rally for this Saturday. There's now information that the rally on Saturday is unconfirmed and likely a fake. NBC ran a story on an incident last night. The reporter said the local activists who were interviewed for the piece are planning a rally for this Sunday. They're planning to attend this weekend. Please defer to the activists from the NBC piece and not my previous IM. So there you go. One of today's sponsors is BetterHelp Online Counseling. They are giving our audience 10% off their first month when you go to betterhelp.com/majority report. If you're not aware of it, BetterHelp gives you access to your own fully licensed and accredited therapist via phone, chat, or video. As you know, stressful period of time. A lot of therapists elsewhere have long wait lists. It can take weeks or months before they can see you. But when you sign up for BetterHelp, they match you with a therapist based upon your specific needs, and you'll be communicating with them in less than 24 hours. Obviously, a lot of people are very uncomfortable, with good reason, to go into a room with a therapist. Also, very difficult to establish a relationship with a therapist. You know, who are not used to using this type of technology, you know, whatever it is, FaceTime or whatever the technology that different therapists are using. And that's what makes BetterHelp so useful right now. Once BetterHelp connects you with a therapist, if you don't think it's a good fit, you can switch to a new one at any time for any reason, no additional charge. They have thousands of licensed therapists from all over the country. They have therapists with specialties that may not be available in your area that are hard to find. BetterHelp also tends to be more affordable than therapists that you find through traditional means. You don't have to have insurance to use BetterHelp, and they have financial aid options for those who qualify. BetterHelp, giving everyone in our audience 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/majority report. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/majority report. So Donald Trump was down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina yesterday, and he apparently has, I want you to just think of, he's in North Carolina, and he is going to restore something to public education. Just want to think about that framing. He's going to restore something.
You see what's going on. We will restore patriotic education to our schools. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Look at you. This is a very sophisticated group, Tom. You know what I'm talking about, patriotic education. Well, the first thing they do is they want to take your history away. That's a great group behind me. I don't know. They're activists. No, but you know what? You know what it means. They want to take away your history. That's why the monuments and the statues, they want to knock them down. The first thing they do is take away your guts. You know, it's guts. They take away your guts. They take away your statues. They take away your heroes. They take away your great generals. They take away your past. Mm. And I said it was going to happen. I said, you know what? They started off with generals and colonels and others that nobody ever heard of. And I thought that was bad. And then they went up a little bit and I said, you know, someday it's going to be Robert E. Lee. Someday it's going to be Washington. Someday it's going to be Lincoln. Someday it's going to be Jefferson. Someday it's going to be Benjamin Franklin. It's all of them. It's all of them. They take away your past. They're never taking away our past. They're never taking away our past. That's the way they do it. You study it. That's the way they go. They take away your guts. And we'll teach our children to love our country, honor our history, and always respect.
There you go. He is, of course, talking about it's a question of like Black Lives Matter and the idea of the Confederacy and the white supremacy that those statues promoted. Those statues, all maybe two, one of them were erected 40, 50 years after the Civil War, the end of the Civil War. And it was at a time where there was a massive resurgence of the KKK in this country. In 1920, there were 6 million card-carrying, self-identified members of the KKK. That's out of 100 million people in the country, 6% self-identifying as KKK in this country. There was probably more. And even in New York, right? There was like, what? There was that big Madison Square Garden KKK rally. There was a big march in Washington, D.C. And that's when these statues went up. And it was all part of this myth of the lost cause. And so when they talk about patriotism, when Donald Trump is up there talking about patriotism, what he's talking about is white supremacy. How do you make the argument that it is patriotic to celebrate those people who basically fought against our country? And that's the way you do it. Don't know that that's going to resonate. Really. And in a moment, we're going to talk more about what Stanley Greenberg found. We've got some polling about swing states that looks pretty good for Biden, though, again, you know, I wouldn't take anything for granted at all. But Stan Greenberg has a interesting reports from a focus group. Before we do, to tell you, as you know, things are challenging enough these days. Seeing a doctor shouldn't be one of those things. That's why you should check out PlushCare. PlushCare provides primary and urgent health care through virtual appointments. Scheduling an appointment, even for the same day, is super easy. You just pick a slot, you book online. With PlushCare, with a PlushCare membership, you can see a doctor from the comfort of your home. You get diagnosed, treated, and even have a prescription sent to your local pharmacy within minutes. You can send unlimited messages to your care team anytime. PlushCare accepts most major insurance carriers, is available in all 50 states. And if you're feeling anxious, depressed, or stressed about what's going on in the world, PlushCare doctors are here to help by discussing treatment options and providing prescriptions as needed. PlushCare makes it easy for you to get the excellent care you need, when you need it, how you need it. They can do the same for all of you. Start your membership today. Go to plushcare.com/majority. You start your free 30-day trial. That's PlushCare, PlushCare, plushcare.com/majority for a free 30-day trial. plushcare.com/majority. Check that out. As you know, many people at home more than usual these days. Still hard to keep a close eye on things. A lot can happen outside your front doors. A lot can happen on the inside of your doors. Not always free to check on things in person. With Ring, you can keep your home safe no matter where you are. And Ring is on a mission to make neighborhoods in general safer. Ring gives you protection at every corner. Video doorbells let you answer the door and check in on your home anytime. Keep an eye on your doorstep. Speak to delivery people when you can't come to the door. With outdoor security cameras, you can check on every part of your house. You never miss a moment. Smart lighting brightens up blind spots and makes sure you always come home to a brightly lit house. They have cameras that are attached to the spotlights, the floodlights, motion detection. And with the all-new Ring Video Doorbell 3, you can keep an even closer eye on things than never before. For me, I got a Ring camera. I've now put in the apartment. I've got two cats in there now. It's a long story. One of them was diabetic. Had to bring in the brother. They were outdoor cats up in the country, and now they're down in the city, and they're lonely and bored. And with a Ring camera, I can talk to them, and well, they can't talk back, obviously, but they like hearing the sound of my voice. I suppose I could just play the show, but I can actually call them. And I got a buddy who's got a Ring camera that is outdoors with a solar panel. And that's the biggest problem you have with outdoor cameras. You can't put them at any distance from your home unless it's wired. Because you use a battery, it runs out. This one has a solar panel adapter to it. Great stuff. Check it out. You can get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/majority. The Welcome Kit includes the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and the Chime Pro. It's all you need to start building custom security for your home today. Just go to ring.com/majority. That's ring.com/majority. And you probably heard me talk about Brooklinen before. They're the home's, the internet's favorite home for sheets. But I have a set of towels, and they are amazing. Brooklinen towels give you your daily routines a little something extra. You get varying levels of plushness, and the towel of your dreams is ready to wrap you up. And with all this extra time at home, it'd be nice to invest in a little extra softness and absorbency. I'll tell you something. For me, honestly, like, you know, there's not as much going on in my life these days. And so I've sort of committed myself to sort of saying, like, okay, I'm going to get rid of the ratty old stuff that I have that is just keeping up space. I'm clearing out stuff, and I'm just getting stuff that I like. And I'm not getting as much of it. And these Brooklinen towels are part of that project for me. They are, they feel like I once went to like one of those Palm Springs spas back in the day. And the towels feel like that. They're soft, but they're not like too like mushy. They're perfect. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts for home, including these ultra soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use the promo code MAJORITY for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, brooklinen.com, promo code MAJORITY. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. All right, let's, that's too bad. We were going to do a random rush today, but Mark Stein is filling in for him, so time's running out for that. Hey, we mentioned the other day that Government Oversight Committee, Carol Maloney's, is going to be looking at Louis DeJoy's rise as a Republican fundraiser. And this is coming from, I think it's the Washington Post piece. I just want to be clear on what he is purported to have done. It is very, very illegal. So this is the words of David Young. He was DeJoy's longtime director of human resources at his company New Breed from the late 1990s to 2013. So from a federal standpoint, DeJoy is outside the statute of limitations, but he is not outside the statute of limitations in North Carolina. So this is a quote from David Young. Louis was a national fundraiser for the Republican Party. He asked employees for money. We gave him the money, and then he reciprocated by giving us big bonuses. Now, what that means is he has, he's reimbursed them and gave them a little kickback. When we got our bonuses, let's just say they were bigger. They exceeded expectations, and that covered the tax and everything else. Another former employee with knowledge of the process described a similar series of events, saying DeJoy orchestrated additional compensation for employees who had made political contributions, instructing managers to award bonuses to specific individuals. He would ask employees to make contributions. At the same time, he would say, I'll get it back to you down the road. according to the former employee. Spoke under the condition of anonymity out of fear of retribution from DeJoy. Again, North Carolina does not have a statute of limitations. This guy, I don't know if he's going to end up in jail, but he should. He'll be one of them. He'll be one of them who ends up in jail. I mean, that is presuming. I mean, North Carolina is North Carolina. That's going to happen regardless. And since we're talking about North Carolina, let's talk about Tom Tillis, who is in trouble as it is in his Senate race in North Carolina. And this is going to be relevant because in 2018, the data suggests that to the extent that there were voters who were coming out who weren't just simply voting against Donald Trump, the data suggests that they were coming out because Democrats were talking so much about health care. They weren't necessarily always saying the things that I want them to say. Many of them were. But the bottom line is they were paying attention to health care. You've got two major issues in this country right now. One is economic fears that are shared mainly at this point, anyways, by people in the bottom half of the economic of the income distribution in this country, maybe a little bit higher. But I mean, to a large extent, wealthy people, stock market, people who can work from home, they're doing fine. The other major issue, more or less fine, relatively speaking, the other major issue is healthcare. And this is going to hurt Tom Tillis, who is already in trouble. This is a clip from the local, I guess, was it Durham? WRAL. I'm not sure where they're located in North Carolina. It features Bev Veals, who is a multi-time cancer survivor. She called Tom Tillis's office to talk about her concerns about healthcare because her husband had lost his care. And I don't think we need to play the whole thing. Let's go through, just to basically when we start to hear from her, okay, Brendan, when they interview her or when we hear the audio.
Because I've seen just about everything healthcare has to throw at a person.
Over the past 20 years, Bev Veals beat cancer three times, a journey that included struggles to get care and medical bankruptcy. So when her husband was furloughed in March due to COVID, Veals worried about losing her health insurance.
I wanted answers because the thought of having no healthcare right now and possibly getting sick with COVID is extremely frightening.
She started calling her lawmakers for guidance and came across a Washington, D.C. staffer for Senator Tom Tillis. Frustrated by the lack of empathy, Veals started recording.
You're saying that if you can't afford it, you don't get to have it, and that includes health care.
Yeah, just like I want to go to the store and buy a new dress shirt. If I can't afford that dress shirt, I don't get to get it.
But health care is something that people need, especially if they have cancer.
Well, you got to find a way to get it.
To compare it to a dress shirt made me incredibly angry and hurt.
So what do I do in the meantime, sir?
Sounds like something you're going to have to figure out.
WREL Investigates sent Veal's video to Tillis's office and requested an interview with the senator. Instead, we received this statement and an apology to the constituent. Quote, the way Mrs. Veals was talked to by a staff assistant in our Washington office was completely inappropriate and violates the code of conduct Senator Tillis has for his staff, which is why immediate disciplinary action has been taken.
The way in which she was talked to? Not the content, not the fact that like, oh, I'm sorry, you're SOL.
That way where you elaborate the policy of this country back exactly. To your constituent.
I mean, just for a moment, I just want to contemplate, like, you know, these staffs, it's not like they've got 45 people working in this office. If you're working in that office and you know that you are forward facing to your constituents, that is that attitude that guy expressed is not he's not going rogue here. This isn't something he's developing on his own. this is the attitude that exists in that office. I just think, I mean, contemplate that. It's just stunning.
Yeah, he's not in trouble for the way he talked to her. He's in trouble for showing how they really feel about it.
Right. You've got to say, like, gosh, you blame the Democrats, or we can't do anything about it. Or, yeah, no, my heart goes out to you.
There are charities that you can.
Yeah, there are charities. Not, look, the reality is that we perceive healthcare as a consumer product. And if you don't have the money for it, you don't get it. Period. End of story. And I can understand that you're upset. You've got a big problem on your hands because you're a cancer survivor. You can't afford that shiny new healthcare that you want so badly. Sorry. That's fundamentally, right, what the attitude of the Republican Party is. I mean, that is just ideologically where they're at. Ron Paul, I don't know what it was, in 2012, got on that stage and said, you know, if you can't afford it, you just die. You die. And that is at the heart, the ideology of Republican perspective on healthcare. Now, a large part of the Democratic Party's perspective is we're going to make sure that you get healthcare. It may end up costing you the vast majority of your money or a significant portion of your money, but that's just business. But we'll make sure it's available in some fashion or another, as long as other people can profit off it.
Yeah, you'll get the shirt, but it has to stay with the tags on and the dry cleaning, like plastic covering. You can't really wear it. If you want to wear it, you're going to have to pay a little bit.
You definitely deserve the shirt. You just don't deserve it in a fashion that is going to be super easy to get. There's going to be some hoops for you to jump through to get the shirt. We may subsidize the shirt a little bit. We'll work out a couple of different ways in which you can get the shirt. May not be the exact shirt you want. It could be like a knockoff version of that shirt, but you will get a shirt. We are committed to you getting that shirt. It's just that you got to work with us a little.
Some shirts have nicer shirts. Some states have nicer shirts than others.
That's right.
Some have no shirts, but that's just, you know. It's their fault.
And this is so important because of research that Stanley Greenberg has done. This is a focused group that he was looking at. He's a longtime Democratic pollster. And there's a really interesting dynamic, I think, with American politics right now. In 2018, there was also recently a study by Pew. It just came out, actually. I have it right here. The number of voters that came out for the Democrats, obviously higher than normal. It was interesting to see who it was that came out in 2018. But the bottom line is there were really basically two reasons to come out in 2018. And that is, one, you hate Donald Trump. This is the vote for a Democrat. You hate Donald Trump. Or two, and maybe these aren't mutually exclusive, you're pissed about healthcare. And I think to a certain extent, it doesn't go any further than that. There is angst about healthcare. I mean, certainly there is a significant chunk. I don't know if it's 25% or 50%, 60%, 70% of the Democratic voter that wants Medicare for all. But as an entirety, the idea is that you're upset about healthcare. So Stanley Greenberg has this piece. I think it's in the American Prospect, if I'm not mistaken. And he went to a Zoom focus group that was set up by the American Federation of Teachers and Voter Participation Center. And it was outside metropolitan areas in rural Wisconsin, in the Mahone Valley region, I'm not saying that correctly, Steel Valley in Ohio, in northern Maine, and suburban Macomb County in Michigan, right? So these are big swing areas. And he said it jives with a survey that he conducted of working class voters in the 16 battleground states right after Kamala Harris was picked. And he said in 2016, a white working class revolt enabled Trump to win men by 48 points and women by 27 points. That margin dipped to 13 points across the entire white working class. In a new poll, Trump lost another 6 points and with white working class women. Biden only trailed Trump by 8 points. That's a huge, huge difference. 27 to 8 points. And he gets on to talk about, working class, broadly speaking, not just that narrow cohort of white people. A big part of why they voted for Trump in 2016 was so he could end Obamacare and its costly mandate and deliver affordable health insurance for all. When he failed to do so, many voted against the Republican in midterms. He says, but during the pandemic, quote, I have never seen such a poignant discussion of the health and disability problems facing families and their children, the risks they face at work, and the prospect of even higher health care and prescription drug costs. And that's why he said these Zoom focus groups pulled back from Trump. Three quarters of these voters supported Trump in 2016, but less than half plan to vote for him now. If that number holds up in these swing states, Donald Trump is in big trouble. And he said, even those who supported him did not push back when the other participants expressed anger with his doing nothing about healthcare, fostering hatred and racism, dividing the country and siding with the upper class. Now, again, this is a focus group. It tracks some polling that Greenberg has done. But again, this is just focus group. But they use these focus groups because they tend to give you a sense of what's going on. However, these same voters were still very cautious about Joe Biden, who seemed old and not very strong, but most importantly, offered the prospect of only minor changes to the healthcare system and seemed unlikely to challenge the power of the top 1%. He writes, working class anger with the establishment after the financial crisis of 2008 ran deep into the Democratic base of blacks, Hispanics, unmarried women, and millennials, too. Many were not initially enthusiastic about the Affordable Care Act. In an election after election, failed to rally fully for Democratic candidates until the 2018 midterms when Democrats ran on healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. And so his point is this pandemic may allow progressives to battle for working people, regardless of color, by talking about healthcare. Now, there's a little bit of cynicism here, right? Because the bottom line is you have the Democratic Party certainly helped, but it was still insufficient in terms of what they did for healthcare. And Trump could step into that void and lie as to his intentions and say, we're going to give you something better. And now you have a situation where Trump is being judged based upon his healthcare achievements, which are zero, maybe worse. And Biden is going to get the benefit of that, despite the fact that he's not offering anything. But you see the problem here is, because the not offering thing may help him get elected in November. But the problem is going to be in 2022, and the problem is going to be in 2024, unless something actually happens. In today's working class and rural communities, healthcare is everything. He goes through some of the things that everybody, he was shocked by the Zoom focus group. He said, as I was observing the Zoom group, because they said healthcare and then everybody had a story. He said, as I was observing the Zoom group, I initially wondered whether the focus group recruiter had used some specialized list to find the participants. Maybe like one that was like, have you signed up for more information about healthcare or take this survey? Do you hate your healthcare? But he says, then I checked the census data on disabilities. 12.6% of the population has disabilities, rising to 15.1% in rural areas. Black and Native American populations are more likely to have disabilities than their white counterparts. The rate is over a quarter for those 65 to 74 years old and over half of those people over 75 years old. Then I looked at the census data, he wrote, for the congressional districts where the sessions were being held. It's a new window into America in the pandemic. In suburban Macon County, the disability rate looks like rural areas. In Maine, 20% with disabilities. In Ohio's 6th congressional district, 20% for whites and blacks are disabled. Seniors in those areas are even more disabled than other rural Americans. So this is happening across the country. Some of the people, when they were talking about Joe Biden, the healthcare system is failing them and they want someone to fix it. And Joe Biden's rhetoric has not been very reassuring to make big changes. He's been vague on healthcare, one woman from Wisconsin said. I want to know the specifics of what he'll do to make it better. Now, of course, when they're talking about specifics, they're not saying, you know, we're going to we're going to increase risk pool benefits for we're going to increase the number of co-ops or whatever it is. They're looking for broad declarations of that it's going to be easier and cheaper and mean it.
Will you stop this robbery, I think, is basically the fundamental sentiment.
So you've got a lot of people on the knife's edge. Now, you know, you got people saying to Trump, I supported you in the beginning over Hillary, but in the end, unfortunately, you showed me you're not just for that. You're just not for the people, said one man from Wisconsin. You lied to the American people about COVID, wrote another. You're everything that's wrong with America. You've effectively ruined this country. Congrats, you suck. And he says it's critical to listen for what they did not say. What they did not say was, what an ass I was to vote for that guy in the last election. They did not regret or say they made a mistake. They have been in financial trouble. They know they are looking for someone who's going to come in, and it starts with paying lip service. But the second time around, it's a function of whether they actually deliver. And so, you know, Joe Biden very well may benefit from the failure of Donald Trump to deal with healthcare and also to basically tell old people to die in the midst of the COVID. But we're going to have a real problem in 2022, and we're going to have a real problem in 2024. If Joe Biden, if all he's doing is, you know, nibbling around the edges, it is helpful and meaningful to provide health insurance for people living in poverty. But if you want to live, if you want to win elections, and you genuinely, and you know, I'm taking the most cynical approach on this. I mean, I would hope that these politicians also want to decrease the amount of misery that people live in and suffering and stress, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll just stick with elections. If you want to win elections, you're going to have to offer everybody, or at least, you know, the 99%. You're going to have to offer them better options for healthcare, period, end of story. And that may mean in some instances that unions are pissed up front because increasingly insurance, an offering of insurance is one of the few things that they can provide. You're obviously going to piss off the insurance industry, because you're going to basically destroy it. It's a failed business model as it is. But this is what needs to happen if the Democrats are going to win and hold power for an extended period of time. And again, that's the most cynical pitch that I have.
Yeah. There's two things I want to share. The first is Obama's county by county 2008 results, where he just cleaned up basically all of Wisconsin in a way that obviously Hillary didn't. And then the second is a blog post by Marcy Wheeler. And, you know, everyone talks about the Comey letter having this big effect on Clinton and Trump. But actually, the announced Obamacare premium spikes, she argues, probably had at least as big of an effect, if not a greater effect. And I mean, I just think it's depressing how we've occasionally strayed away from how simple this is. I think for the benefit of the party, I think some of the party leaders, they don't want to talk about how simple Wisconsin would have been won if it was healthcare in 2016. If those people weren't still worried about their premiums, whether it's like the depressed black vote in Milwaukee or the rural vote in the rest of Wisconsin, they would have been happy with the Democrats, and they weren't. And it wasn't because they all of a sudden became, you know, fascists.
And I want to make it clear, you know, again, you know, Trump won with less votes than Mitt Romney lost. Hmm. And we're going to go into this hard on Friday. Shahid Buttar is going to join us again. He is running against Nancy Pelosi. It's going to be this Friday, right, Brendan? Did we lose Brendan?
I'm sorry. What's that?
Shahid Buttar is going to be here on Friday.
That's correct.
Okay. And we're going to go in on this in terms of Nancy Pelosi. Because when it came time to pass a message bill that is just sitting in the House and doing nothing, and it will be completely forgotten. Or maybe it'll be picked up after Joe Biden is president, maybe sometime in February, the HEROES Act. What did they put in there in terms of health care? They said, we're going to subsidize with our tax dollars the single most expensive health care that exists in this country. Dollar for dollar, in terms of the care it offers, COBRA is the most expensive health care product existing in terms of health insurance. That's what we're going to do. We're going to finance that. Instead of expanding Medicaid, instead of expanding Medicare, instead of allowing a Medicare buy-in, I mean, there's a myriad of different things that they could do, but they are so adamant in not giving an inch because they're afraid that there is a moment, there is a critical mass that could be reached where all of a sudden the floodgates open. And these insurance industries, they are lobbying desperately, even if they know the writing's on the wall. Look, we see this dynamic. I see this dynamic in the context of tort cases. If they're making hundreds of millions or billions of dollars in profits, they're going to stretch it out for as long as they can. If that means 6 months, that means a year, it means 2 years, it means 3 years, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is. That's what they're going to do. And Nancy Pelosi, it's a message bill. The idea that you're going to you're going to push COBRA. It's even worse if they actually do something with that bill now. And I would also add that we're looking at no COVID relief for states and cities. It's going to be a disaster. By January, it's going to be a disaster. And she promised, she poo-pooed everybody who said, well, we'll get it. We'll get it. Just, I don't know what else to say. Poor strategy, poor tactics. And the substance is not very good either. Substance may be worse. Just got an IM from somebody. Milton Apathy. I don't know if I agree completely with Marcy Wheeler on Wisconsin. The targeted ads on social media worked in 2016. You could literally feel the Facebook ads killing black enthusiasm. I know that may be anecdotal, but I saw it in my circle. But the point is that you have the opportunity to kill black enthusiasm because there's nothing on the other side.
Yeah,
right?
There's pre-propaganda, like, basically, right? Like, that makes the ground fertile for that.
Right. Nothing exists in a vacuum. None of these things are you can pull out. It's just that there's an opening that's created. And those Facebook ads could run through that opening that was created. And that's, you know, that is the danger even with this election. You know, if we were not in the middle of a pandemic, I would be very, very concerned about this race. I'm obviously concerned anyways and stressing, but I'd be really, really worried because it's one thing to basically hide out and offer nothing when you've got a guy who's literally out there running on a policy of the old people can die in COVID and everybody else is going to be fine. Here is apparently Donald Trump in a newly released recording of an interview with Bob Woodward talking about COVID-19 pandemic on March 19th. Do we have the audio?
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Let's play this audio. So here's the point. You know, Joe Biden is benefiting from Donald Trump's failure to deal with COVID in a like sane manner, not even in like a competent manner, like in a sane manner. But down the road, 2022, 2024, we're not going to have that opportunity. Here's Donald Trump talking to Bob Woodward, apparently on tape. And this is in March 19th. They closed down. We went into lockdown, at least in New York, on March, I think it was 16th or 13th.
Now it's turning out it's not just old people, Bob. Just today and yesterday, some startling facts came out. It's not just older.
Yeah, exactly.
Young people to plenty of young people.
So give me a moment of talking to somebody, going through this with Fauci or somebody who kind of it caused a pivot in your mind, because it's clear just from what's in on the public record that you went through a pivot on this to, oh my God, the gravity is almost inexplicable and unexplainable.
Well, I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Hmm. What would happen during that panic? Everybody runs for the exits?
They stop working.
He doesn't. And when he says a panic, understand what he's talking about. He's talking
about
stop
liking me.
He's talking about the stock market. There is no version of panic that affects the general population. What does that look like? You know, he's worried about panic sell-off of the stock market. That's what he's talking about. I wonder if there's just going to be a series of these things that are going to drop. And the reason why the timing of this is also, you know, and Bob Woodward obviously has the audio. He may see it, but, you know, the opportunity, who knows? I hope that there's a little more coordination about this, but whatever. Bottom line is now, you know, they don't have a chance to really stay on the, he didn't say they were suckers and losers. And that's just going to sit there and marinate in the minds of people who were offended by that. So that's going to hurt Donald Trump too. COVID is going to be the thing that he just simply can't recover from. And the fact that there's been a complete absence of dealing with healthcare. And I don't, you know, the Democrats, I worry about 2022. If they don't come into office and deal with healthcare, this should have been something that should have been dealt with the past 4 years or maybe by now. I mean, Joe Biden's going to get into office and it's going to be climate change, is my guess. You're going to see voting rights are going to be restored. You're going to see, and then you're going to see climate change. And obviously, it's a huge, urgent need. But people also have a need right now for health care. And that has to be addressed. That has to be addressed. Let's hear Michael Cohen, who's on Rachel Maddow, and then we'll go into the fun half. This is an interesting theory that Michael Cohen has about Donald Trump and what he will do if he loses the election. I don't know if he can get... Well, here, let's play this clip.
With you, I don't understand it.
The president is at least, though, named as individual one by prosecutors. And you, in your allocution, made very clear what you just made here in terms of the fact that this was directed by him for his benefit, and you were acting out his wishes, and so he's therefore the most culpable person. You make a point as almost the very last thing you say in the book, which I wanted to ask you about because I think it may relate to this. President's named as individual one. You went to prison for those felonies. He's clearly the person who directed the commission of those felonies. But you say at the very end of the book that the president and Attorney General William Barr ousted the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York and tried to install effectively the president's golfing buddy as the new U.S. attorney there because the president, in your view, wanted to arrange for himself to be indicted while he's still in office, because that would give him the opportunity to pardon himself after he lost the election. I just wanted to make sure that I understand the point that you're making there. Just ask you to elaborate on that a little bit, because I'm not sure I understand.
My theory is that if he loses, there's still the time between the election and the time that the next president would take office. And during that time, my suspicion is that he will resign as president. He will allow Mike Pence to take over, and he will then go ahead and have Mike Pence pardon him. Hmm. And it's a very, let's just say, it's a very Nixon type of event. And it was probably discussed between Roger Stone and President Trump at some point, that this is certainly one way to avoid any potential prison time.
I suppose if he was going to do something like that, he could arrange for the type of pardon that Nixon, in fact, got, where Nixon hadn't been charged with anything. It was a prospective pardon that he basically arranged from Ford so as to make sure that he'd never be indicted after he left office. I suppose that same sort of arrangement could apply there, even if he wasn't, in fact, charged.
So we have to remember that it doesn't apply to state charges, nor does it apply to the charges that will be brought.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I think there is something too, and I think that was my sense at the time as to why Barr wanted to get his guy in at the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District. They wanted to wrap up a lot of these investigations. I don't know if it was about Trump, but I think they wanted to wrap up a lot of these investigations, get them teed up for a potential pardon that could not be undone at that point. Get them, make a plea deal, wrap up these investigations and so that there's no loose ends for anybody to pursue following Trump. But I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that that Mike Pence would do that?
Yeah, it seems, I mean, I think Pence is a good soldier, but I think he's too much out for Mike Pence at that point.
Right, of course.
Like what?
I think Pence is just like, I'm sorry, you know, like as soon as Trump loses, Pence is going to be virtually unreachable by phone. I think. I think he's just going to be, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'm really upset. I'm devastated by this. I'm back in Indiana and I'm just trying to nurse my wounds. I can't possibly do this. I don't buy it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. Jamie's going to be joining us, right? Do we have her? Just a reminder, this program relies on your support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you support the free show, and then we'll give you extra content virtually every single day. Also, don't forget, when do we get the pencils coming, Brendan?
Well, we just approved final designs the other day, and they should be online in the next few weeks.
This is Brendan talking to me like I'm seven. Do you remember 2 days ago when you looked at the final design? So they can't, they're not, it's not.
I didn't want to, I just didn't want pencils to go up that weren't up to, you know, the majority report standards. Because I feel like that would have been worse than, you know, making sure we had things just exactly perfect.
That's right. Pencils aren't made out of magic, Sam. We don't have a, now they have to be printed. So. But if you go to shop.majorityreportradio.com, you will see that we have merchandise that is in there. People are loving it. We got, do we have posit stuff yet on the t-shirts, or is that coming out in the next wave?
That's part of the next big merch drop.
No, I think I just blew it, right? Wow. Also, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And I just looked at the AMQ numbers this morning. AM Quickie. Thousands upon thousands of you listen to the AM Quickie every morning. I didn't check what's happening on the YouTube when we play it on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, but just as a podcast, thousands upon thousands of you. And I want there to be thousands upon thousands of you more listening to AM Quickie every morning, 6 or 7 minutes, sometimes 8, depends. It just gives you a sense of what the news is going to be that day. So stories that you won't hear from other places. Talk about the top stories, but then you talk about stories that you'll miss. Good corrective for your whatever it is, whatever your AM talk radio, you know, top of the news things that you're listening to. So check it out, amquickie.com, or you just find it on, I don't know, Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is. So check that out. Also, don't forget the Nomiki Show. It's on right after this one at 3 p.m. You can go to youtube.com/the Nomiki Show. Also patreon.com. Wait, did she start this week? It's this week, right? Tuesday through Friday.
Started yesterday. 3 p.m. Yeah.
That's right. Check it out. I don't even remember that yesterday was Tuesday. But I'm like, that's where I'm at right now. Jamie, what's happening on the Antifada?
Hello. So this week on the Antifada, Sean and Andy speak with the great Brace Belden from TruAnon to talk about union power and labor organizing, past, present, and future. They talk about how communist organizers like Harry Bridges, leader of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, exercised this kind of power in the past and how we can fight to bring it back today. And they end on a call to build a workers' party, a vanguard party, a not necessarily electoral party, the thing that is the million-dollar question for the organized left right now. And then on Friday, that's out now, and then on Friday, we've got a bonus episode coming out where Sean and Brace talk about music and life as young punks, and that is all to be found at patreon.com/theantifada. Also, I should mention, I'm going on the Nomiki Show tomorrow to talk about socialist feminism. At least I believe that I am.
That's like a it's like a crossover episode.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah, Jetsons meet the Flintstones.
Whoa. What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean? That's about the most famous crossover. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant those are beloved Hanna-Barbera characters.
I mean, it's more, I think it's more like, you know, I don't know, like the Jeffersons meets All in the Family or something like that. Although, actually, that's a spin-off situation. The Jeffersons were actually spun off from All in the Family. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about.
So mine was more correct.
I'm not sure about that.
I'll ask Nomi what beloved TV shows she would like to compare the crossover to.
Matt, what's happening on TMBS this week and also Literary Hangover?
Yeah, last night on TMBS, we talked to Milton Alamadi about the pointless coup in Milton Alamadi about the pointless coup in Mali, Museveni in Uganda, We also talked about JP Morgan admits some unethical behavior, and Lula returns with some fiery speeches. And also, so that's patreon.com/TMBS and on YouTube. On Literary Hangover over the weekend, I took to the skies in Microsoft Flight Simulator and gave people a tour of the Bismarck-Mandan area. We saw where, for instance, the Dakota Access Pipeline crossed south of town. And yeah, so check that out. I'm going to be doing a lot of Flight Simulator because I'm addicted.
You have a clip of that? I would love to see a clip of that. You should bring that on the show. We should play like a 2 minute, like not a 2 minute, but like a minute clip. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I could play it, but not right now. I guess I still have it here. I can play it. I can pull it up right now. Right. Here, I'll share it.
Sort of interested in seeing this.
Maybe this is
a FNAF thing.
Let's skip here. So yeah, So this is me. I'm flying over my hometown.
We can't see it.
Not sure.
Oh, you can't see it?
Oh, no,
oh really?
Water access here.
Wow.
that's pretty.
To the left down here.
Jeez,
it's photorealistic.
Wow. As long as I remember.
Video games have really progressed since I last played them.
Wait, what's that water stuff over there?
Like Missouri, right?
Yeah, that's the Missouri River, and there's some. These are man-made inlets.
Oh wow! Yeah. I've never seen anything like that. Those man-made inlets.
That's where the new money goes to make giant.
Like a little golf community, except for it's boating, right? And so can they do that? Well, I guess they can. That's just appropriate to me.
It's making me a little more worried about the boaters, the beautiful boaters.
What about those squares of water?
I'm not sure what those are. I think maybe water treatment or something.
Oh, that's nice.
We go south of town to go to Access Pipeline. I give people the full tour. Twitch.tv/literary hangover if you want to watch me play Flight Simulator.
Cool. It's a lot more going on. A little of that Arcade Fire album that came out like 10 years ago where it comes with like a game where you put in your childhood address and you're like running around your old neighborhood.
I remember that. Yeah, the suburbs.
It was really cutting edge at the time, that technology.
I completely missed that. Surprise. Yeah. All right, folks. See you in the fun half. 646-257-3920.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy.
Alpha males are back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
The alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman.
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ Danerke's song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danerke.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck. Reminder.
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych. Fuck them.
Homo says what?
What?
Almost says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. Hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang.
All lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
and the alpha males are back, 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 and the Africans are black, 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 African, and the alpha males are back, 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 and the Africans are black, 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 black.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100.
Can't knock the hustle.
Come on.
Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday.
My birthday.
Happy birthday to me, Jew boy.
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black. Alpha males are back, back. Africans are black, black.
Come on.
To pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy, total, 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 pussy.